Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for the cross today because Jesus took my sins and made them his own. And he took your sins and made them his own. Hey, one of these days, your sins will have to be judged. God does not overlook sin. Sin has to be judged. And it will either be judged in hell forever or it'll be judged on Calvary. My sins were judged on Calvary. How many of you, your sins were judged on Calvary with Jesus Christ? Amen. Hey, I'm so thankful to be here. I have enjoyed SLC. Thank you, Brother Larry, for letting me preach in the youth rally today. And man, I love to be with teenagers. And I'm excited that what God is going to do. There are pastors in this room. There are future missionaries in this room. And moms and dads. Sometimes you look at life and you think of yourself as a teenager and you think that being old is so far away. Well, I want you just to look really close at me. I used to be a teenager, and now I'm old. Who said amen? Who was that? Who was it? Say amen. Raise your hand. Did you say amen? Well, I got something to say to you. Mabaho ang kilikili mo. Somebody say amen with that. All right. I used to be a teenager, and I remember one time, you know, teenagers do crazy things. Sometimes you see the preachers, and you think, oh, look at the preachers. But, you know, they were teenagers before. I grew up in church. I was in the youth group. And one time my youth group was going to youth camp, and we were driving in our bus, and our bus broke down. Anybody ever been on a trip and your car break down or your bus break down on your youth group? Yeah, all the time. If you go to a Baptist church, our buses always break down. And so our bus broke down and we're stuck on the side of the road. And there was another pastor and he let us all stay at his church. It was a little tiny church and we're staying there. And so we were there for 2 days. Man, it was so hot, and it was humid. We were all sweaty, and everybody was playing football, and I told my friend, I'm not playing football, I'm going to go on a walk. So I'm walking down, and they had these big, tall cornfields where the corn was growing about 8 feet tall. And my friend, we got all the way in the back, way back by the cornfield, and I could hear something. I could hear zzzz, like that. And my friend said, do you smell that? And I said, what is that? He said, I don't know. As we got closer, the smell was so bad. And then we saw it. Zzzz, all these flies. And laying in the cornfield was a cow that had died. And it was bloated up. Just giant, like a huge beach ball. And my friend said, whoa, that looks like it's gonna pop. And I said, it is. He said, how do you know? I said, 'cause we're gonna pop it. And my friend's not real smart. He said, have you ever popped a cow before? No, but I'm going to pop this cow. He said, what's going to happen when you pop it? I said, I don't know. It's probably going to just like go. And there's going to be a mushroom cloud and a giant explosion. He said, could we die? I said, what do you mean, could we die? We are going to die. I said, there's going to be a giant crater. Our friends are going to hear the explosion, and they're going to come running back to see us, and then find out what happened. And they're going to find us laying in a crater, dead, covered in cow guts. He said, that's terrible. I said, that's awesome. There's no better way to die. Right? I mean, I don't want to die just falling down bumping my head. I want to die popping a cow. So I was looking around and I found a big stick. And I said to my buddy, I said, okay, I'm going to have to hit this thing hard. He said, why? I said, because I have a basketball at home. And my basketball is 100% leather. And it's full of air. And it's super hard. And that cow is 100% leather. And full of air. It's going to be hard. I said, I got to hit this hard. And I told my friend, I said, are you ready? And he went, okay. Now, I don't know why I did this, but I was sneaking up on a dead cow. Like, I don't know why I was sneaking up. I don't know if the cow was just going to be like, moo! But I was sneaking up on the dead cow. I got close, and I just want you to know that you do not have to hit it hard. I hit that thing, and the stick went right in. And all I remember is that the skin went like that. And there was this whooshing sound like. And my momentum carried me over the top of the blowhole. And the cow went. And all that hot, wet air hit me right in the face. Listen, I do not have a weak stomach. I do not have a weak stomach. I have seen all kinds of stuff. I've changed poopy diapers. I've done all kinds of things. But when that cow went, I went, bah! I was puking in a dead cow. I turned around to my friend, and my friend went, ha, 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 bah! And we're both running away. We got back to our youth group and they were going, man, what's that smell? My friend said, he popped a cow. I just want to say this, when you're on your way home, if you see anything that's on the side of the road that's dead, like a dog or a cat or a pedestrian, just leave it alone. Don't pop it. We all used to be teenagers, and God brought us out of our youth groups, and God has led us on a journey to where God has used us in ministry. Let me tell you something. There is no greater life than serving Jesus. Does it get hard sometimes? Yeah, it gets hard. But let me tell you something. The drunkard's life gets hard too. And the drug addict's life is hard too. But let me tell you something. The drunkard, he has a bottle to help him. And the drug addict, he has a needle to help him. But the Christian, we have Jesus to help us. What a wonderful life. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus. It's been a wonderful life. I want you to know that life. I want you to take your Bible very quickly, and we're going to turn to a couple of places. We've just got a few minutes today, and I want you to listen very carefully today. First of all, find in the Bible the book of 2 Peter. Now, I want you to get your fingers going real good, because we're going to turn to a couple places very quickly, and then I'm going to bring a truth to you. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Do you know today that God has a plan for you? Now, I understand that God made the whole world, and I understand that Jesus, when he walked, there were multitudes, and I understand that God sees the masses of people in Manila and in Seoul, Korea, and in New York City. God sees the soul. He sees all the masses of people, but I want you to know something. He is not a God of the masses. He's a God of the individual. Not long ago, I was out preaching, and I was in a hotel room, and I was away from my family, and I had been gone for several days. And I was missing my family, and I was feeling lonely. And in that time, the devil began to tempt me with loneliness. I began to feel sorry for myself. Have you ever done that? I got on my knees, and I tried to pray, and it just seemed like I couldn't pray. Seemed like God couldn't hear me, and I just kept hearing that voice that, you know, God doesn't listen to you. I got up and I went down to the lobby of the hotel and I got a cup of tea and I drank the tea and I was just kind of kicking around and just feeling sorry for myself. And here I am all this miles away from home and I haven't seen my wife and I haven't seen my kids and I'm not sleeping in my own bed and all my clothes are in a suitcase and just feeling sorry for myself. And I felt like I was all by myself in the world and that nobody cared for me. And I got back up to my hotel room and I tried to pray again and I just seemed like I couldn't pray. And I said, you know what? What do I really know? I got a piece of paper out and I wrote on the top of that piece of paper, God loves me. And I wrote next to that, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And the old devil said, no. God loves the whole world, but he doesn't love you. And so then I wrote down Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I said, you know, I'm part of the church. God loved the whole world and I'm in the world. And Jesus loved the church and I'm in the church. I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a member of my church, amen? And if God loves the world and I'm in the world, he loves me. And here's the thing, if I'm in the church, I'm a member of the church, then Jesus loves me. And the old devil said, he doesn't love you. And then I remembered Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just showed the old devil in the Bible, God loves me. Listen to me, God loves you. And God not only loves you, he's got a plan for you. Does God love all the people in Manila? Yes. Does God love all the people in Seoul, Korea? Yes. Does God love all the people in America? Yes. Does God love you? Yes. And God has a plan for you. What is God's will for your life? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness. That means you can break your promise, I can break my promise, but God can't break a promise. And watch what he said. But he is long-suffering to usward. Now watch this. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to understand today, young people, that God has a will for your life. And number one, it is God's will for you to be saved. It is God's will for you to be saved. Listen, don't ever believe it. Don't ever believe it. If you hear somebody ever teach you that there are some people called the elect, that God wants to save some and he doesn't save others, that God has chosen some and not chosen others, and you have to start wondering, am I the part that God chose or not chose? Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? Because when God chose Jesus to be the Savior, God chose you in Christ. God's plan for you to be saved. If you've never been born again, if you've never repented of your sins and come to Jesus Christ for saving and been to him and bowed your knee before Jesus and received him as your Savior, you need to be saved today. God's will for you to be saved. No man will ever go to hell out of the will of God. All right, listen, God loves you. He has a will for you to be saved. Now look in your Bible. Look over to the book of Ephesians. Look over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what? What's the next word? The will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Look at the verse, next verse. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be what? Filled with the Spirit. Young people, you listen to me. We need a generation of young people to rediscover what it means to be Spirit-filled Christians. It is God's will for you to be saved, but it is also God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with self and filled with the Spirit at the same time. You cannot be filled with sin and filled with the Spirit at the same time. You cannot be filled with the world and filled with the Spirit at the same time. You must die to self and crucify self. You must go to Calvary like the Apostle Paul did every day. I die daily, and then let the Holy Spirit of God fill you. You say, Brother Miller, how can I be filled with the Spirit of God? Oh, listen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Have you asked God to fill you today? Have you asked God, Lord, fill my life with the Holy Spirit? You say, what does that mean, Brother Miller? Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit, when he fills your life, what he's doing is he's forming Jesus in you. A spirit-filled man has the look of Jesus on his face. A spirit-filled young lady has the look of Jesus on her countenance. I heard about a little boy one time. He was standing by his dad, and he said to his dad, he said, Daddy, how big is Jesus? And the dad said, oh, son, he's very big. Is he bigger than me? Oh, son, he's much bigger than you. Is he bigger than you, Daddy? Oh, son, he's bigger than me. Well, how big is he? Son, he's bigger than the whole world. He's bigger than the whole universe. Boy, the little boy thought about that for a minute. And he said, Daddy, if Jesus is bigger than you and he lives in you, how come he's not sticking out? If Jesus lives in you, how come he's not sticking out? Listen to me, if you're saved today, that's the will of God. But that's not all. There is a will of God for you to be spirit-filled. We need some young men to learn what it means to get along with God and pray and be filled with the Spirit of God. We need some young ladies today to be filled with the Spirit of God. What's going to change this world? What's going to reach the 1040 window? What's going to shake the world for Christ? Not another pop star, not another Katy Perry, not another Madonna, not another Justin Bieber. What's going to change the world? Some spirit-filled young man in this room, a spirit-filled young lady in this room. That'll change the world. You don't need another phone. You don't need the material things of this world. You need Jesus, and you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to say number three, God's will for you. Look over at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're still with me, say tracking. Tracking. I tell my teenagers sometimes if they're not paying attention, I say tracking. And they say tracking, and I say crack-a-lacking. I don't know what that means, but it's fun to say. Just try it. Say tracking, crack-a-lacking. Say, what does that mean in English? I have no idea. Probably means something like mabaho mung kitty kitty moo. I don't know. Somebody told me that was the most romantic thing you could say. I was planning on going home and getting off the airplane and walking up to my wife, when she runs up to me like this to give me a hug, I was going to say very romantically, Maboha, ang kili kili, moo. And she would fall into my arms and smooch my face. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. Young people, this is a world that is obsessed with fornication and ungodliness and wickedness and pornography. It is a world obsessed. You can see it on the billboards. You see it on the phone. You see it on television. You see it online. This is a world, they cannot sell anything without using somebody who's half naked. This world is obsessed with wickedness. And God said, I want you to know what my will for your life is. My will, God said, is for you to be clean and sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for God's use. You know why the world wants to corrupt your mind? It wants to corrupt your mind not to give you pleasure. The world wants to use you for its pleasure. The world will use you up and spit you out. God wants you to be clean and sanctified. Oh, God wants you to be sanctified. God wants you to be sanctified, set apart for His use. You see, listen, in my church we have a pulpit, and that pulpit is made of wood. And that wood is sanctified wood. You say, where'd you get it? From a holy tree. No, it wasn't a holy tree. We got it from the same tree that we made my supper table. Something else that's made of wood. But let me tell you something very quickly. That pulpit is sanctified in my church. Sanctified means set apart. That pulpit, we don't sit around that pulpit and eat food. That pulpit's not used as a chair. That pulpit's not used for games. We don't play cards on that table or roll dice on that table. We don't play on that pulpit. Let me tell you what we do. We have set that pulpit aside for one thing, the preaching of God's word. Young people, you listen to me. You listen to me. God wants your life for His use. He wants you sanctified. Don't let the devil use your life to play his games. You let God use your life for His glory. The devil will use your life for games, but God will use your life for His glory. I want to say lastly, it is God's will for you to be saved. It is God's will for you to be what? Spirit-filled. It is God's will for you to be sanctified. Let me show you one more. Look over at Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and look, if you will, at verse number 18. Jesus said and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Everybody look right up here. Just draw yourself right up close. Now look at me right in my eyeballs. I want you to look at me right in my eyeballs. Listen to me. That is not a commandment for the missionary. That's not a commandment for the preacher. That's not a commandment for the pastor. That's not a commandment for the youth pastor. That is a commandment for every born-again Christian. God wants you to be a soul winner. God wants you to tell people the good news of Jesus. He wants you to win souls. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you want to be a wise man, you win souls to Christ. Win souls to Jesus. Win souls to Jesus. Go to school on Monday and win souls to Jesus. Go home from school on Monday. Win souls to Jesus. When you go to the store, win souls to Jesus. When you go down the road, win souls to Jesus. Everywhere you go, when you're with your friends, when you're by yourself, win souls to Jesus Christ. God's will for you is to be saved. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you're out of the will of God. Are you saved? And are you spirit-filled? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Out of your life, does there come love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and goodness and faith? What happens when somebody makes you mad? What comes out of you? Let me tell you something. If you were walking down the hallway with a cup of coffee and somebody bumped your arm, what would come out of the cup? Coffee. What comes out of the cup? When it's jostled, when it's bumped. When somebody makes you mad, what comes out? That's what's in you. Spirit-filled. Sanctified. Young people, keep yourself pure and clean. You young ladies, be clean before God. Hey, listen, you young men, you keep your eyes pure, keep your mind pure, keep your heart pure. Be sanctified. Be sanctified, not for the devil's games, but for God's glory. And then be soul winners. Hey, do you know what? I just believe that if every young person in this room just walked in the will of God, saved, spirit-filled, sanctified, and soul-winning, we could reach the world for Jesus Christ.